The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show.
Hey, welcome back to the Bright Side and the Week in Comics. And obviously, it felt very appropriate to name this week's podcast Chadwick Boseman. We'll get into that to start. But then we have other news to get to. We have a Mandalorian update. We have a new Netflix series that's coming we talk about. And other things. But we have a really strange book this week that we talk about in Checkout. And I'll leave it up to you guys on which one I'm referring to when I say strange. So leave you with that little bit of a mystery. Let's head into the store. Johnny, how are we doing this week?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
I'm doing okay. You know I usually try to come in here with something funny, get you going or something, but it didn't seem appropriate this week. Been a long week since Friday. We were on Thursday, yeah. And the news came on Friday that Chadwick Boseman passed.
Yeah, I was shocked.
Yeah.
I'm sure most people were, but I was like, holy crap. I was watching TV and reading Facebook, and I looked over at Lydia, and I was like, hey, man, I was like, damn, Black Panther died.
Yeah. I didn't get it till Saturday morning. I'd gone bed fairly early, probably around like 10 o'clock at 10 o'clock my time here on Friday night. And I think, the news come out probably around 11-ish or something?
I don't know if it was quite that late, because we don't usually stay up that late, but it was 9. Well, your time, I don't know. Yeah, maybe, I don't know.
Just
nine-ish.
After I went to bed. But yeah, I got up in the morning, and I'm like, what the?
It was everywhere by the morning.
Oh, yeah.
I got the first news story, and then when I went to click on the link, it wouldn't open, because I wasn't sure if it was true or not. I kept looking, and it took me a few minutes to find it. But then within 10 minutes after that, it was like every post on every social media outlet was that. So I was like, well, I guess it's true.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you hear all the stories since then too of like the degrees that he had, what he was diagnosed with stage 3 and all, like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
So that's like while he was making Black Panther, he knew this.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mean, going back that far. So.
Well, yeah. And thinking like, I don't know when he started aggressive treatments. You know, I don't know how far back that went, but if he was diagnosed with stage 3, that's pretty advanced, even 4 years ago. But I mean, to look the way that guy looked while he was filming all of those Marvel movies while battling, you know, surgeries and chemotherapy and cancer is like unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you wouldn't think somebody could look that way. You know, obviously towards the end, you know, there was pictures that started surfacing where, you know, he looked a lot different. And, but, you know, again, same thing. Like, I would have just thought he was, what's his name? Christian Bale. You know, he was Christian Bale, you know, and he was just doing it for a part, you know, and he was just losing weight. And I wouldn't have thought in my head, oh, you know, he's got cancer and he's dying. I would have just thought he's method like Christian Bale or whatever. And,
well, did you see 21 Bridges?
I did not, but I mean, I remember seeing the trailer for it.
Well, I watched,
he didn't look any different to me in the trailer.
He looks thinner. If you watch that, I saw that movie this week for my other podcast, and he is definitely thinner. And like you, it's like, if we didn't have this news now, if I'd seen this movie before, I wouldn't have thought anything of it. I would have just thought, oh, he's not as jacked as he was for, you know, Black Panther or Infinity War, Endgame, and all those. But in 21 Bridges, you, especially now, you look at it and go, oh, man, you know, he looks like he's like half of himself in that.
Right.
But it's the fact that he kept this from everybody, and then it's the first thing I thought of after hearing this was, Jen and I watched this show with Kevin Hart on Netflix. It's like, I think it was Netflix. It's like a reality show. I can't remember the name of it. But it's basically, it follows Kevin Hart around. And he pitched a movie to Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah.
And knowing what we know now, it's like heart-wrenching to think of that scene because it's like, you know, he always seemed like a fairly quiet person.
Right.
And you didn't, now you're like, okay, well, he basically got his biggest role, his biggest famous role would be Black Panther, where he, you know, he just propelled to the top of everybody's list of, okay. And so now you see him and Kevin Hart's pitching this movie to him, and he's just so quiet about it. And he's like, yeah, I'll think about it. And he's just very, very somber and very quiet. And he's like, it almost like this meeting ended, and it was like, it felt like they didn't exchange these words, but it felt like, okay, my people will get back to your people. And it was like a quiet and such the opposite of Kevin Hart, who's so over the top with everything. He's always like, yeah, let's go, right? And I remember thinking after that meeting, I was like, wow, I really felt like Chadwick Boseman felt like he didn't even want to be there. Like, it was like, all right, I'll just give this guy, you know, I'll have this meeting. And knowing now, he probably was like, I can't do that. I know I won't be around for this movie. Right. It just gave me such a chilling view of that scene. And it's not, and that's a reality scene. That's real. And right. I doubt Kevin Hart even knew at the time. And I wonder if he even thinks anything different of that meeting now.
Well, and I didn't save this article, so I don't know any of the names, but there's an upcoming movie that he's got releasing on Netflix. And his co-star in that movie, I was just reading this article when I was at dinner, now regrets judging him, basically. Because what it was is he, was looking forward to working with him on the set of this movie, you know, and I guess his wife, you know, was a big fan of Chadwick and all that. And this guy works with him on this movie, and then, you know, he's telling his wife, who's like, well, what's Chadwick like and all this? And he says, well, I don't know. I think he's kind of frail, like a prima donna. And basically because, you know, while he was filming this movie, between every take, you know, he had handlers all around him, like massaging him and rubbing his back and all this stuff. And he's thinking to himself, you know, what a prima donna, and all this stuff has gone to his head and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, this news breaks that he was probably going through hell at that stage, because this was recent. The movie hasn't even come out yet.
Right.
And now, you know, what does this guy think of himself? You know, and he's got all these regrets and, you know, wishes he... And he never said anything to him or really publicly about it. It was just his personal judgment and conversations he had in private with his wife, but still felt the need to bring it public because he felt so bad about it. You know, and it just goes to show, again, like, you're not walking in anybody else's shoes. And,
right.
You know, you'd never know what people's struggles are. And, you know, we all judge things all the time. And, you know, you just never know what's going on in somebody else's life. And, you know, who are any of us to judge anybody for anything, you know, really?
Right. So, the decisions they make. And then it's after the fact that you look
at. But again, if you were that guy on that set, what would you have? Like, exactly. I would have thought the same thing. Yeah. I would have been like, yeah, what a prima donna. You know, he's got people, you know, it's like every time he finishes a scene, he's got somebody buffing his nails and, you know, rubbing his back. And I would have thought the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
Probably would have told my wife the same thing. So, you know, you can't.
Because you never expect that it's the worst. You never expect that, like, I mean, you don't go, oh, well, maybe he has stage 4 cancer and he's about to die. It's like, you don't,
especially
that's
since
not
he
where
was
your
so
mind
private
goes.
About, I mean, Marvel didn't even know.
No.
You know, like, nobody knew.
Well,
you know,
that's one of the things, like, I wanted to ask you. That was the second thing I thought of. Remember we talked, it was a while ago, a month or so, 2 months ago, where there was an announcement or a rumor, maybe it was, that they were recasting Black Panther. His role, T'Challa. And I'm wondering if maybe they got wind of it even in the last few months, because I remember that, why would they be recasting him? He doesn't want to come back?
Like, no, I don't, honestly, I don't remember hearing that. I mean, I know there was rumors of Shuri becoming Black Panther at some point, but that was, I think, more following along the lines of the comic book storylines.
Yeah.
I don't remember ever hearing about that because...
I thought we talked about it. I know I heard it somewhere.
At least the articles I've been reading the last couple days, Marvel didn't know anything about what was going on, and I think they put something out today saying that they weren't going to recast.
Oh, that's cool.
Him. So, and you know, I know they had a Black Panther 2 planned, but like that story is done, right? Like, you know, Endgame and Infinity War happened. If they just walk away from that franchise for a while, the storyline is finished. So
it's not, it can be finished. I agree
with
you.
Well, it can be. I mean, obviously they could have gone on if they wanted to.
If they went, because that was such an iconic role and such an important role in Marvel and society.
Well,
and,
sure.
To move that forward would have been great, but now it looks like a better idea to let that sit for a little while.
Right, yeah, I don't disagree. Like, obviously they had intended to go forward,
right.
But the story, there's not dangling storylines. You know, like, the story can be done.
Right.
So, in the same vein that at some point they'll probably recast Iron Man and Captain America and Thor, they'll just recast Black Panther a couple of years down the line. Or maybe they move ahead and make Shuri Black Panther for a movie. You know, who knows? But I think they're probably just walking away for now, and they're going to let it sit. Because anything they do at this point, and, you know, again, not to, like, I don't feel bad for Disney in any way, but, like, they're in a kind of a no-win situation with this right now.
Right.
I would think, because, you know, if they recast and move forward, then they're painted in the, you know, heartless, you know, don't care about Chadwick kind of light. But, you know, if they don't go forward, then it's kind of like the same thing, right? Like, oh, well, you don't want to honor his his legacy or what have
right.
you. So I think they're in a little bit of a no-win situation, but I think they're probably just going to walk away from it for a little while and, you know, see how it, you know, it shakes out. I don't know what their phase four plans were as far as what kind of role he was going to play in all the upcoming movies. And we don't know that. So maybe he was going to be very important, or maybe he was just going to have Black Panther 2 and that was going to be it. You know, we don't really know. So,
I mean, his role, you could see him as a, like, the next leader.
Oh, well, definitely.
They definitely could have used
him. You know, hell, he leads the Avengers in the comics. So,
right.
I mean, it's definitely a role that could have happened. And that's what I'm saying. He might have been a very important figure in Phase 4 of Marvel. Or, like I said, he could have just been, you know, doing his sequel movie and that was kind of going to be it. You know, we don't really know. And obviously none of these movies have been made yet, so anything can be changed at this point and redone. So
right. Very surprising.
Yeah.
Very surprising. And apologize to the listeners that I didn't re-record our open for Monday. I could have included it in the open. Obviously, we record Wednesday nights for our Monday show. And I could have said something. And I put the show together and I didn't even think of it. And then Monday morning, I'm listening to our show back, and I was like, with all the news going out, I'm like, I should have said something that we would talk about it today. But
right.
I was like, that just shows, like, that shows, our Monday shows are pretty timeless. Then we try, but I'm sorry. That felt awful to me on Monday morning, like, oh, our show has nothing to do. Ugh, it was bad.
Right.
But shocking news, shocking news.
Yeah, man, like, terrible news, because, again, young guy, just coming into his prime, right? Like, he had, you know, a whole bright future ahead of him, and, you know. And, you know, obviously, it was very important. Like, you know, to us, he was Black Panther, and it was great, but, I mean, he was a very important figure for, you know, like, the black community, you know.
Yeah.
Not just with Black Panther, but, you know, he did Jackie Robinson, and, James Brown.
Yeah,
like, you
James
know,
Browning.
Iconic
get on
roles
up.
That he played.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, was you know, a pretty important figure. So, you know, it's just, it's a shame all the way around. But
yeah. Yep. All right. You want to move on to something else? A little more cheery now?
I mean, I don't know what else to say.
I know.
How else could we?
It's tough. We aren't professionals. But, I walked into, Friendly Neighborhood today. They're at the back of the store next door. They borrowed a space. Yes.
Guess what the name of the store is?
Robin's Nest.
Robin's Nest.
Yeah, it's some, they sell botanicals or something. I don't know what they sell. Okay. It's some weird store. But it's the name of the store is called the Robin's Nest. And they put out an announcement the other day saying, we'll be at the back of the Robin's Nest. So just come on in and they have a small display set up and they gave them a room in the back. But I walked back and I said to Slade, I go, you know, Robin's Nest is a pretty cool name for a comic book store.
Well, I was going to say, it's definitely definite Batman vibes, but
yeah, but it has nothing to do with comics at all.
Right.
But I was like, hey, that's pretty cool. But anyways, yeah, I walk into the store and I'm like, oh, it's, you know, Chadwick, what do you think? And everybody's just like, ugh, it's just so shocking and amazing that he kept it quiet so long.
Yeah, especially in this day and age with social media, like, you know, not one nurse or orderly or doctor leaked anything. You know what I mean? It's like really amazing that they were able to keep it. Now, of course, HIPAA laws that, you know, they go to jail, I guess, for that. But that's never stopped anybody from doing anything, right?
Right. Well, if only a certain amount of people know and it gets out, you know who it could have been. So,
but, I mean, you know, you're walking into doctor's offices, there's patients, like there's other – you're not going into, like, deserted buildings, you know. When you walk into the cancer treatment center, there's people in the waiting room, there's different things going on. So it's pretty amazing in this day and age that – you know, they were able to keep that secret.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's move on. What else do you have?
Well, I'll tell you what we don't have anymore. We don't have an Arrowverse.
Ooh.
Breaking news. Obviously, yes. Since the obvious cancellation, not even cancellation, but the ending of Arrow last season, you know, there was some debate on what they were going to call their superhero verse over at the CW, and a press announcement went out today, you know, with their upcoming schedule, and pretty creatively they're just calling it the CW verse. So
that's so original.
I know a lot of thought went into that. Kudos to the guy that came up with that, but so that's what we have now, CW verse, and it's very generic. So no matter what shows rotate in and out of that going forward, because, you know, if you start calling it the Flashverse, what do you do two seasons from now when the Flash is done? And then it's like the Legendsverse, and then that show cancels. So, I mean, it makes sense to have a more generic title. I don't know if they had to go that generic with it.
Right.
But yeah, it'll stand the test of time.
It
for
was
sure.
up between that and the John Doe verse.
Exactly.
It's like, yeah, well, hey, I guess as long as you're calling it a verse, it still has something to
it's
do
something,
with DC.
Right. So at least it's a verse.
Not the DCCW verse. So they just
second verse, same as the first.
Yeah, the CW verse.
Yeah, the CW verse.
Any announcements on any new shows or anything? Or are we just going with the same lineup as we ended
last
year?
Same lineup. I mean, we have Lois and Superman
that's right.
and Lois
that's
coming,
right.
which is the new show. And
and with all the delays, that's due out in 2022, right?
Yeah. And now they're like the permanent home for Stargirl because that will no longer dual air on DC Universe. But no new shows other than Superman. So.
All right. What else we got here? We got, did you hear about the new Netflix series that drops on Friday?
I don't think so.
No?
What's it called? Maybe I have. What's the name of it?
It is called Away.
Nope.
It's 10 episodes. Commander Emma Green leaves behind her husband and daughter to lead an international crew of astronauts on a perilous 3-year mission to Mars. That sounds like it's right up our alley, huh?
It does, yeah.
That sounds really good. And Hilary Swank plays Emma Green. Oh. Well, at least that's what it looks like. I haven't looked at I just see the poster. Looks really good. I haven't seen a trailer. All I did is read that and saw the poster. Looks awesome.
Raised by Wolves premieres Sunday also. So,
oh yeah, we talked about that one. Yep, we talked about that one.
That looks great, actually.
Doesn't it?
I'm looking forward to that. Yeah,
yeah.
That'll air alongside of Lovecraft. You know, we haven't talked about Lovecraft Country at all. Are you watching that?
No.
Oh man. Well, I don't know if you like that kind of stuff.
What is
that? Obviously, well, it's Cthulhu. It's H.P. Lovecraft who wrote all the Cthulhu monster Arkham horror stuff.
Oh, okay.
That's what this is all based on. Takes place in Arkham, Massachusetts, and it's a whole big world, but I guess you're not familiar with any of that.
Not really.
But it's got Journey Smollett is one of the leads, and it's really good if you like horror stuff.
Jen loves horror stuff, so maybe we'll check that out. She loves. I'm not a big horror fan
right now, so. Yeah, so that'll be going alongside. So I'll have like a Sunday night HBO Max thing going on for a little while.
That's good. So you've got enough content to last you till Tuesday?
Yeah, well.
10 episodes of this new Netflix we have.
we're jumping ahead to the end of the show. We might as well just do what are we doing now. But, you know, I'm knee deep in Mad Men right now. So I've got stuff to keep me busy for a while.
Well, you said that would keep you busy for, you know, but you drop in and out of that. But
yeah, I will. Like, I'll drop out of it to watch, so I can watch The Boys.
We have The Boys.
I dropped
on
out
Friday.
Of it to watch Lucifer. So yeah, I'll be in and out. But we're two seasons into Mad Men now, and you know, still got like five seasons to go. So I've got content to last me for a little while.
That's cool. I'm gonna be all backed up because I got I'm going away, so I'm heading up to New Hampshire. Well, tomorrow, and I won't be back till Monday, so I probably won't be watching anything until at least Monday night at the earliest, so I'm going to be all backed up on stuff. And you know me, I don't watch stuff at the rate you do.
No.
So. But. We got Mandalorian news.
Yeah. October 30th.
Yeah. That's good news.
It's just I realized surprising. As I was reading that it's September now, so
I know.
It's not as far away as I thought it was.
Exactly.
I keep thinking, like, you know, the fall is so far away, and it's like, well, it's not. It's here.
It's here.
we're in September. Yeah.
We're in September.
So, it's hard to tell for me because it's still 187 degrees outside, so.
Well, you did move to Texas.
Yeah, it still feels like summer to me, but.
Well, the heat.
But I noticed when I left the store today at 7, it felt a little darker than it usually does. So
yeah.
I think it's starting to change a little bit.
It's getting chilly in the mornings up here. My heat My heat kicks on in my truck in the morning when I set it like 70. My truck's set to 72, and it's like 58 out. So that's nice. Give you that fall feeling. Football
I
around
guess.
The
I
corner.
Wish.
Packed stadiums. Oh, wait.
Yeah. Not here. Not anywhere.
Oh, no. No kidding. What else you got?
That's it for news. I guess we could talk about The Rock.
Breaking. We both just saw that before we got on.
Yeah, The Rock and his whole family have COVID-19, so hopefully they will all recover and be well. I mean, if anybody's going to beat it, it's going to be The Rock, right?
I mean, yeah, and his family.
The guy's chiseled out of rock.
I know.
As it is, so.
He's going to go through this. He's going to lose like 10 pounds, and it won't be noticeable.
Right. He might lose an inch around his bicep. Who knows?
Yeah. So, but we have some good news.
Yeah. Well, we're moving on now. I don't know what's happening here.
We have some Brightside Backcracker news. We won another dub.
Yeah?
I don't know what that means.
But I don't either.
We won another game series? I don't know. But we won another one. Down to the wire, it says. But we're moving on up, John. The Brightside Backcrackers are taking over the league.
Good thing. I need something.
Finally, we're getting something for the money that we're paying, the salary that we're paying our GM.
I know.
Dr. Joe.
To do all the work for us.
Yep. But moving on up in the Nerdy Legion Fantasy Baseball League, where we drafted apparently all minor leaguers.
The prestigious Nerdy Legion Fantasy Baseball League.
Exactly. What's that acronym?
World renowned.
Yep. In our world, anyways.
The NLFBL.
Oh, boy. All right. You ready to get into some comic books?
Sure.
All righty. What am I going to spend my money on this week?
Looks like you're going to spend your money on Captain Marvel number 18. Second printing came out today. The main cover for this is selling right about cover price, but, you know, in the increasing trend of having, like, ratio variants on second printings, we have a 1 in 25 variant for this that's selling for about $75. So these are probably pretty scarce, knowing that on second printings, stores probably aren't going so deep on them that they're ordering these 1 in 25 variants.
But, right.
But yeah, if you can get your hands on one of these, it's going for about $75. Marvel Zombies Resurrection number 1. I bet you'd be shocked if I told you there was a Peach Momoko variant that's worth some money.
Shocked. I'm floored, shocked. John.
Yeah. But anyway, there's a 1 in 50 Peach Momoko variant for this that's selling for about $130. So that's almost triple ratio. So that one's, if you can get your hands on that, definitely worth picking up. Miles Morales number 18 came out. So there's a variant cover that shows Miles' new baby sister, actually, on the cover. And that one is selling for about $12. And then every store got a surprise one per store birthday variant, because this is the birthday of the character. And that one is selling for right around $75.
Did you sell yours yet?
I did, for $70 today.
Oh, at a bargain.
Yeah, I knocked $5 off. Because I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah. Hadn't gone up to 75 yet, had it?
No, it had, but I was like, well, if it's selling for 75 on eBay, I'll list mine on the wall for 70, see if I can move it. That's actually more than I would have made if I sold it on eBay for 75. So.
Oh, cool.
But this issue is also the first appearance of a Miles clone, so even the main cover could see some interest if that character becomes important at all.
It just sounds funny.
I know.
First appearance of a Miles clone. So it's actually the second appearance of Miles. It's just not
exactly
Miles.
It's just this clone. Right.
So in a comic book, if you haven't read anything, you don't know that. You just see it's Miles.
And
there,
honestly,
and Miles there.
Every issue could be the first appearance of a Miles clone if they wanted to, because they could clone him as many times as they felt the need to. Hey, would it surprise you to know that there's a third printing of Thor number 5 that's worth more than cover price? the third printing is going for about between $10 and $15. So starting to slow down a little bit, but that's triple cover price on release day. So,
and it is the third printing.
It's the third printing. Yep. So of a book that just came out a month ago.
Right.
It's crazy. But the ones that are slowing down a bit are the Venom, later printings. The second print for Venom 27 came out today, and that one is just selling for cover price, so it hasn't seen any real interest. But the 1 in 25 variant of the second printing is selling for $75. So again, that's triple ratio. So and then last but not least, We Only Find Them When They're Dead. The big cover here is the 1 in 50 variant, which is selling for about $100. And then there's a 1 per store thank you variant that's selling better than the last couple they've done. This one's selling pretty regularly for $40. Keeping with the trend of Miles Morales, I sold mine today for $35. So,
well, there you go.
Again, shaved $5 off because I'm that kind of guy.
Yeah, look at you. And that's not it. I actually have news. I got an email from Scout Comics shortly before we went on. News alert, Atlantis wasn't built for Taurus number 1, and it eats what feeds it number 2 from Scout Comics. Go to second print.
Yep, so both of those are sold out.
Yep, both of those are going to second print. So that's great news for Scout Comics and great news for those books. I know we read them. Well, I read them both. I don't know if you.
I haven't read either one of them. So
I enjoyed both of them.
But I know you liked them both. Yeah. Yep. Book of the year, according to you.
Yeah.
And other reputable sources.
And yeah,
all named DJ.
No, I've heard. I haven't heard it. Anybody else say Book of the Year? Not many people say that.
I mean, I know a lot of people like it. But yeah,
right.
I haven't heard Book of the Year.
I just bandied
around in any other places. So.
Right. I can defend it. You don't agree with me.
I can't even argue it because I haven't read it.
I know, but my son came to me and goes, Book of the Year? And then I explained my case and he was like, oh, I could see that. So he sees why I say that.
Right.
So, all right. Let's get into back issue bonus.
All right, so the first book we're going to talk about is Static issue number 1. So this is coming off the news from DC Fandom that Milestone Comics was returning with a new Static Shock series. So this one's got all kinds of demand, and there's several covers for this. I guess these are all polybagged in different colors. So there's a blue polybagged cover that's selling for between $40 and $50. And then there's an orange cover, which I guess is a little bit more in demand, that's selling for between $50 and $60. So expect those to continue to rise, too, I would imagine, because it's a pretty popular character, and I think the new series will do very well. Birds of Prey 56. This is getting a bump from the Suicide Squad panel from DC Universe as well. This is the first appearance of Savant. We mentioned this last week in our big list. But so far, this seems to be the big winner off the list as far as increase in price. And it's selling for between $20 and $40. Something is Killing the Children, issue number 1. Keep seeing this. Keep talking about this one. It's just rising and rising. First print A covers are now breaking $100, which is really crazy for a book by a smaller publisher like Boom, you know. Well, I can't even say they're a smaller publisher anymore, but definitely in the, you know, third or fourth position when it comes to publishers. And then there's a variant cover by Jenny Frisson that's selling for around $50. So, and I know I don't have this written down, but I know there's second printings of that out there too that are probably worth picking up at this point. And then Batman 4 and 6 from the New 52 version, both of these are, well, there's an argument, I guess, on which one of these is the first appearance of the Court of Owls, but, the Court of Owls were hinted in the new teaser for the Batman movie by Matt Reeves. And then they also are the main villains in the Gotham Knights video game series that's coming up. So, Court of Owls is definitely going to see some movement going forward. So again, people are arguing over which one, so pick both of them up, I guess.
What's the argument? Do you know?
I don't know. I don't know, because I haven't looked at either one of these. I mean, it's kind of hard to say if they're in number 4 that that's not the first appearance, but I'm not sure, because again, just some people are arguing.
Are they mentioned in 4 and then show?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Kind of like Punchline's first appearance, and you're like, really?
Right. but either way, both of these issues are selling for about $25. So either one or both are probably worth picking up at this point. And that's it for back issue bonus.
All right. Let's get into FOC for next Monday, which, by the way, John, is a holiday. So you may want to get your DC stuff in on Thursday.
You might, yeah. Let's what happened? Hang on. I lost my notes. Okay, there they go. I clicked something and my notes went away. All right. So, yeah. We'll get there in a minute. We're going to start with Dark Horse.
I was just trying to light the fuse.
it's lit. Don't worry. Dark Horse Comics has Stranger Things Science Camp issue number 1. That's going to be a 4-issue miniseries. And there's 3 covers for that. Moving from Dark Horse to DC. DC FOC is already done for this week, so it's kind of pointless to talk about anything they have on FOC. indulge me, if you will, DJ, in a little rant.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what I was trying to do.
I'm going to click over to another window here where I have opened the email that we receive every single week from Lunar. We have got this email every week since the announcement of the change of FOC. I'm going to read it to you, so indulge me. It says, FOC day change. The FOC due date every week is now on Sundays, except when there is a long weekend with a Monday holiday, in which case the due date will be a few days earlier on Thursday. And then this week's email says, the first Thursday FOC is this week on 9/3/2020. DC has made this change to help ensure more timely and accurate packing and shipping of products. Translated to, we don't want to work on the weekends, so screw what you guys want to do. It's all about what we want to do. Let me read this line one more time. DC has made this change to help ensure more timely and accurate packing and shipping of products. DC has been vigorously promoting Tuesday release date of all their new products. Tuesday is new release day for DC Comics. I received my tracking for next week's delivery, which I usually receive on Fridays. When do you think I'm receiving my package next week?
When do I think you're receiving it?
Yeah.
That you...
Keeping in mind that Monday is a holiday and nobody's delivering mail.
If you receive your tracking early, I would guess that you're getting it early.
I'm receiving my package on Tuesday, which is release day. Let me go back one more time. DC has made this change to help ensure more timely and accurate packing and shipping of products. If your release day is Tuesday, and if I have to be inconvenienced enough to do FOC on a frickin' Wednesday, which is New Comic Book Day, because I don't work on Thursdays and I refuse to do any more work on my days off, why can I not get my books, which are supposed to be shipped in a more timely and accurate fashion,
right,
on time to have them on sale when I open on your on sale day? Just, I don't even know what to say about that.
Well, everything they've said contradicts everything else they said. It's like they're contradicting themselves. They're like, okay, we want, so basically this FOC is for what, 3 to 4 weeks from now?
Well, right, but the FOC I did 3 weeks ago, which was still due on Sundays,
right,
and not Mondays, and now was to help ensure timely packing and delivery. So,
and you're not getting a timely packing and delivery.
I'm not getting it, which even though I have my tracking, which I got on Tuesday night, I'm still not getting my product until Tuesday of next week. So why is it taking an entire week to get this product when I normally get it on Fridays to begin with? Like, it doesn't even make
sense.
Right,
the holiday hasn't even hit yet.
Exactly. So
yeah, that's interesting.
It's interesting and it's ridiculous.
Frustrating.
Yeah, it's really frustrating. So I thank you for indulging me in my rant. I will move back over to FOC.
I was expecting that.
Yeah. So next on the list after DC that doesn't have to be done by tomorrow is Image. Image has Department of Truth issue number 1. This is a new book by James Tinian. So this will probably see a lot of interest based on what Joker wore and Something is Killing the Children are doing. So I would expect this to be a hot title. There's multiple covers for it, so pick and choose at your leisure. From Marvel, we have variant covers for Amazing Spider-Man 49, which is legacy number 850 for Spider-Man. Oh. So this is an anniversary book at $9.99. There's a whole bunch of covers. I picked the Mark Brooks cover though. I think that's the best of the bunch. It's got Spider-Man and Venom squaring off and, it's a pretty cool cover. The rest of these are all Alex Ross variants. You can choose any of the, you can throw a dart, at any of these and have the best cover of the week because they're all awesome. Avengers number 36 has a really cool Ghost Rider cover. Fantastic Four 24 actually has four different Alex Ross variants. There's one for each member of the Fantastic Four. And then X-Factor number 4 has an Angel cover. Like I said, again, all of those are great. So any of those could be your pick of the week. For new series, we have Shang-Chi number 1, multiple covers there. From Aftershock, We Live number 1, just has one cover. And then finally from Valiant, we have Shadow Man number 1 with multiple covers. And that is it for FOC.
All right, let's get into checkout.
Okay.
You want to save this first one for last?
Sure.
I think that's a crazy one that we can talk about.
Okay. All right, well then I'll start with my second book, which is We Only Find Them When They're Dead, issue number 1. This is from Boom Studios. It was written by Al Ewing, and it had art by Simone DeMeo. This book was pretty interesting. Actually, I actually really liked this book. I got to read it a couple of weeks ago, and based on reading it, I ordered up extra copies of these, and I was hand-selling them today and sold quite a few copies. We Only Find Them When They're Dead refers to giant celestial gods that exist that only seem to appear after they've died. And this takes place at some point in the future because, you know, we have space travel going on and crews working in space. And there's all kinds of teams that basically go and harvest resources from the corpses of the dead alien gods. What exactly they do with all of that stuff, I think it's just resources that they live on. They salvage meat, obviously, from the flesh, but minerals and metals and things that we use to survive. So this kind of focused on a couple of tensions between a couple of crews that were out there. I guess every crew gets assigned a specific area of the corpse that they can harvest every time one of these are found. But, you know, groups try to get in there and beat the other teams to the punch and kind of make off with the goods before, you know, the rightful harvesters get where they need to go. So I don't know. Did you get a chance to read this one?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it. I thought it was really interesting. Like, I've never seen any concept like this before. You know, obviously we're focusing on one particular crew that has the characters that we're going to follow, I think, throughout the series. Like I said, you get to kind of see the inner workings of the interplay with some of the characters and things like that. But yeah, I don't know. I liked it. I thought it was really interesting. I'm really intrigued to see what they're going to do with this story. Al Ewing is, you know, a pretty big writer for Marvel. He's responsible for the Immortal Hulk and lots of other things, so should be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I was kind of blown away by the art.
Yeah, it was really good.
The art was like basically just carried me until I could figure out what was going on. Like, your description of the story is very accurate, but you don't know that as the story is being played out. It takes a little bit to catch up to exactly what's going on.
Yeah, it unfolds throughout the book.
Right. And you're not really sure of anything, really. And it's pretty cool how it plays out like that. But all the while, that artwork is just fantastic. It's like 3D-ish at times. It's very, very nice. You said it takes place in the future. I believe the first date they give you is like 2323. Is the year?
Yeah, that you're right. Like I said, I read it a couple of weeks ago, so I didn't remember that.
But yeah.
Now that you said that, they
and one of the main characters is a child, and then he's older later on.
Yeah, Captain Malik.
Yes. Yes.
Right. We meet him as a kid, and then we see him later as an adult, doing the same thing basically.
It's
the family business.
Yeah. So. And then where it ends, it ends in a weird way that you would never see coming. It's not like a crazy thing, but this entire story is a little bit crazy. So
it is. Yeah.
So when it ends, you're like, what does that mean? Like, really? Like, I still don't know what it means. I'm like, you know, I'm sure you don't know what it means because you don't really know what's going on here. And like you said, these celestial beings, they are gigantic and they're just.
Yeah. Well, just picture them like Galactus. Like all I could think of was Galactus every time I saw one. It's like a giant Galactus floating in space. That's, like I said, a dead.
Right.
A dead celestial body, or like in nowhere in the Guardians of the Galaxy, which is like in the head of a giant celestial.
So the main characters are basically scavengers.
Yeah.
And that's what they do, is they travel the universe or galaxy, I should say. What was the edge of the dark space? I think they called
but
it,
I thought
or something like that.
I felt like it was more, organized than that. Like, like scavengers in a sense, yes, but I kind of felt like this was more of a like it's more organized. Like there's rules that they're following. You know, cuz like I said, they had to stick to specific parts. Like this crew, if I'm remembering right, was able to stay around the cheek and you know, had
they
really
can't
had
have
to get
metals,
everything from the
they
face,
can't
right.
have anything.
So they were responsible for just getting the meat and not necessarily the metals.
It sounds
and the
gross, but when you see see the book, and like I said, the artwork's fantastic. The artwork alone is worth picking up the book. Right. But when you see what we're talking about, it is gross, but it's not. I mean,
it is, but I mean, it's no different really than a deer or any other meat that you would eat. You know, it's just for all intents and purposes, it's a food source. So
I thought it was really good. Definitely worth picking up. The book I read, the other book I read was Black Widow number 1 from Marvel Comics.
Uh-huh.
Writer Kelly Thompson, art by Elena Casagrande.
Mm-hmm.
I guess.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is, I didn't read the last Black Widow. I actually haven't.
I did, yeah.
I haven't read any Black Widow before. So this was really good. It's a great new start to it. It had a really interesting story. In that it resets everything. So having not read Black Widow in the past, I basically got the idea. I mean, you can come into this and not know anything in the past because, small spoiler, guess what? She doesn't either. Something happens in this story that resets everything. And I'm already put it on my pull list. I really enjoyed it. It was a fun, fun book. Completely different than these other two books that we're talking about tonight. This is more of a mainstream, you know, your Marvel superhero type book. Captain America shows up in there. They talk about Hawkeye a little bit. But basically your Marvel, you know, team up type thing. But this is a Black Widow story that you can definitely jump in on. Artwork is simple, but it's good. It's enough. You know, the story itself is interesting enough. It's a quick read. I really enjoyed it.
Cool.
Yeah. And now this last one.
Yep.
Holy.
Lonely Receiver, number 1, from Aftershock Comics. It was written by Zach Thompson and had art by Jen Hickman. I guess I'm too dumb for this book.
I was going to say, buckle up, people. We're going to be here a while.
I really... after reading this whole book, really had no idea what was going on or what happened in this book. I actually had to read this synopsis that I have on my notes to kind of explain some of it to me. I wasn't sure if she was like in love with her cell phone, and like I didn't really know what was going on.
That's what was written up at the end of the book, and I think that's the next book or something.
This was
crazy.
It was crazy. So, you know, you've got a woman who, I guess, you know, she buys an artificial intelligence to be her partner in life. You know, her
somebody
life
she
partner.
Can love.
Yeah, somebody that she can love and is supposed to bond for life. But I guess after 10 or so years, the holographic wife, I guess, developed some personality and urges of her own and, you know, I guess started stepping out on her. I don't know. This book was so weird. I don't even know if I liked it or not, to be honest with you. But I was really intrigued by what was going on, even though I didn't really understand what was going on. And I just kept thinking, I guess I'm not smart enough for this, because...
Here's my notes. OMG, this is insane, but I want more.
Yeah.
Is this really bad or really good?
I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. The art was okay. Like, it wasn't great.
I know.
But it was okay. But, like,
it's a very adult book.
I would say this is an adult book. I was just going to say, because there's some scenes where they're, like, floating around having sex
in the garden.
In the green, which all I could think of was Swamp Thing. Like, because they kept calling it the garden, and it was all green. And they're just floating around. And I was like, is she a real person? I don't know what's going on. It's like, if it's an artificial intelligence, is she, like, physically there? Like, can she actually feel anything? Like, I don't understand. So I don't know. I don't know. I don't know if I liked it or I disliked it, but I know I'm really intrigued by it. So
I know.
I guess that's a good testimonial. Like, because I'm going to look at number two regardless.
Absolutely.
Even if I didn't like it, I'm going to buy number two. Well, I mean, I'm not going to buy it physically. The store will, but
I'll buy it.
But I'm going to read it. So
yeah, maybe it'll help explain number one.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's only five parts, so by the time I've read one and two, I guess I'm all in. And
right.
I'm going to read the rest of them. So, yeah, really weird. Really weird book. It made me think also of, Blade Runner. Blade Runner 2049, where he was in love with his artificial intelligence that ran his house. Anna de Armas, which, you know, I'm in love with her too, so I don't blame him. But, like, it was kind of the same thing. It's like, he developed real feelings for an AI, but he knew it was an AI. I didn't really understand if she knew that this person wasn't real or what, but...
Well, is it any different than Lando and Solo?
Well, I guess not.
What was the robot's
But at least
name?
There's a physicality there, right? Like, it's still a physical being that you can...
Right.
You can touch a droid. Like, it's there physically. Like,
right.
This AI is, like... Is it present? Like, is she sitting down having conversation? Because there's some scenes where it seems like she's talking to it, but she's in a room all by herself.
Right.
And you don't know really what's going on. But then there's other scenes where they're talking, and, like, she's making her breakfast and stuff. So
I felt like it was, like, an
android. I was really confused.
Like, it was there.
Right.
But then
I thought
she could
so
talk
too,
to
but...
it, like on social media. She would talk to it when she was at work and...
Yeah, I don't know.
...expect a reply. And, but yeah, it's... I know we're talking a lot about it and it sounds like we're spoiling this, but trust me.
Oh,
we're
no.
Not.
Yeah, we're
you
not.
Could
we didn't
read
really
this
go
whole
into...
thing and you'd...
Well, you could read the whole thing and not know what happened, so...
Because we did.
Yeah, because I did.
So. It's crazy. I was like, I read the extra stuff and everything at the end, and I'm like, that didn't help.
No.
I don't know if that's answering questions on what I just read or telling me about what I'm about to read in number two, because I couldn't believe you were saying exactly what you're saying, what I was thinking, and it was like, yeah, is this good or is it bad?
I don't know.
It's crazy.
I still don't know.
Yeah. Lonely Receiver number one.
Yeah.
Not going to make it book of the year, but it's definitely one of the most intriguing books this year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, we're definitely going to have to check out number two.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to read Batman 98 today?
I was just going to ask you that. I read it yesterday, actually.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, man, it's awesome.
Yeah, this whole story is incredible. Yeah.
This latest issue of Batman was fantastic, actually. It was really good.
Yes.
I think the art... George Jimenez, his art is in this book was I think even a step above the first couple of books in the series. I thought the art was great. The writing is really, you know, is really starting to get good. But yeah, there was a lot that happened in this book. A lot of stuff with Batman and with Bruce and Alfred, which was great. And then some of the realizations he came to at the end. Like the last panel of the book was fantastic. So
yeah,
really good. If you're not reading this at this point, I don't know what you're waiting for. It's really, you know, besides Daredevil, that's going on right now, this is the best thing, really the best thing going. So
right. So one thing, this is obviously spoiler free. We know there's Alfred's involved here, and but we know that Tom King killed Alfred.
Yeah.
I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast before. I know I talked to Ernie about it. I don't know if I've talked to you about it, but forgive me if I'm repeating myself. But that's what happens. If Tom King doesn't kill Alfred, is this story as colorful? Because well, you don't have say, that dynamic. Right?
It's hard to say, yeah. Because, I mean, obviously James Tynan is using what he has to craft this story. So, yeah, I don't know how... I mean, the death,
you know,
definitely...
I mean? Like,
I mean, the death of Alfred definitely plays into what happened in this issue. And you're right. I don't know if we get this issue if Alfred wasn't dead. But, you know... I think the story would have just been crafted in a different way, so we don't know. But
the backlash that Tom King got, and then it's like, but you like look at how that. Yeah. Now, did Tom King envision this? No.
Oh, I don't know.
But
no,
no, I don't think he did at all. Right. But maybe, you know, Tinian didn't envision Alfred being dead.
Because Tom King envisioned himself still writing Batman until issue 100.
Right. So what one artist does and another artist picks up, and it's like maybe, you know, Tinian had an idea in his head that this is what I want to do, and then he finds out, oh, Alfred's dead? Okay, I've got to rethink this. Right. And just it's amazing at what can happen. Like, you know, when one artist picks up the, you know, takes the baton from another artist, and it's like, okay, what you know, like universally everybody was upset. You know, like, oh, you killed off Alfred. But look at what it's done. And that's not the only part of this story. But it does create a completely different depth to the story that you wouldn't have had, you know, Tom King not done what he did.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You're right. The writing, everything about the story, aside from that, is still really good.
Yeah, it's really ramping up, too. Like,
yes, it is.
You know, we got two more issues till 100, and like they're gonna be crazy.
And I'm really enjoying like Punchline. She's great.
She's really good. They're, yeah,
they've really created a fun new character, like kind of breathing some life into it, which doesn't really feel like Batman needed life, you know. But after Tom King's run, I mean, the action in this, and like you said, the artwork in this, it's just some of these action scenes are so good.
Yeah.
It's such a great book. Such a great, biweekly? You just can't
it's
wait
bi-weekly,
for the next
yeah,
book.
Every other week. Ugh. Yeah. So basically, we've got a month left of this, and then it'll be done. So.
Oh, so good. And we'll do, let's talk a little, Daredevil Annual, now that you've read it, but we'll talk about that after the show. We'll lock the door because we'll talk spoilers on that. It's been out for a week, so if you haven't picked up Daredevil Annual, go grab it because it's fantastic. And you can come back after we've locked the door and you can listen to the spoilers that we're going to talk about. So, all right, and Real World. You touched on that a little bit.
Yeah, I touched
earlier
on it already. So, yeah, like I said, I'm watching Mad Men, but I took a break and watched the Powers movie with Jamie Foxx. Powers something. I can't remember exactly what it was. Yeah, but on Netflix.
Yeah, I talked about it in my home theater.
Yeah, I thought that was... It was decent. Like, I'm not going to say it was really good.
Oh, it's not a must-see, but for a comic book fan, I would say it's a must-see. It's a good comic book story.
I thought it was a good premise, yeah. And I think you had mentioned that they were already developing, like, a spin-off series.
Yes.
With different characters, but obviously with the same themes. And, yeah, I can see how that could play out. But, yeah. Really, really good. So we watched that. And I feel like I want to say I watched something else, but I can't. Another movie, but it's not coming to me. But yeah, mostly Mad Men. like I said, we watched really two seasons. Because I think the last time I brought it up, I had only watched two episodes.
Right. And how'd that commercial issue go?
Well, yeah. So here's the thing. I've watched from episode three of season one all the way through season two, there hasn't been another commercial.
Period. Oh, you got them all out of the way.
So I don't know how that happened. Because... like, that was such a big issue on those first two episodes
they
that I talked about.
They probably heard the Bright Side chat, heard then, your complaint, and they just
mixed
it.
What's funny is every time I go to turn it on, it says free with commercials, but there hasn't been a commercial yet in any of them. So I guess it's going fine.
Lydia paid for the extra fee or something to get rid of them, didn't tell you.
I guess. But I don't understand it. Honestly, I don't understand where
That's
they went.
Funny.
But I'm not complaining. I keep waiting for them to show back up, but they haven't. It's a really good show. I mean, it takes some getting into. It's definitely slow to start, and it's very much a character study because it's not really – nobody dies. There's no mysteries. Like, nothing really happens. It's just all character development. But it's really starting to grow on me. Once you start to get into the characters – it really starts to get pretty good. So I'm enjoying that. Watched a couple more Avatar: The Last Airbenders. I just finished season two. So I'm kind of in the home stretch with that. And that's really about it. Like I said earlier, we watched Lovecraft Country, which is just one episode a week. So we watched that on Sunday night. But and for me, it's pretty much Mad Men. So what about you?
So... as I said earlier, I watched 21 Bridges. I recommend seeing that. It's really good. It's very predictable. I will say that.
Yeah.
But some of the acting in this is just, there's one scene that Chadwick does is just incredible. It's towards the end. I won't give anything away, but if you see it, we'll talk about it then.
Yeah, I'll definitely, especially now, I'll seek it out and watch it because... I've really forgotten about it, to be honest with you. But
well, it's funny because when the trailer was out last summer, Joe and I couldn't wait to see it.
Yeah.
But then it came out in November, and I was like, why didn't we see this? Because you forgot about it.
Yeah, I don't remember ever even hearing about it in theaters, to be honest with you.
Well, you know what? We were Star Wars crazy.
Oh, yeah.
We were all prepping for the, you know, Rise of Skywalker. That's all we were talking about.
Yeah, we were watching Mandalorian come out. Yeah, you're right.
Everything, the whole world went to, you know, Disney Plus and blah, blah, blah. And next thing you know, I'm like, wait a minute, 21 Bridges, how did that ever come out in the theater? And you find out, yeah, it came out in November. You're like, wow, it's amazing. But I couldn't wait for it to come out. But there's this one guy, Stefan James is what it says his name is. He plays Michael in this, and he's one of the bad guys, quote unquote. And he's really good. I really liked him in this, and I'm like, I don't know what else he's been in. Taylor Kitsch is in it too, and at first it doesn't even look like him. You're like, you recognize him, but then you're like, is that who I think it is? And then you look it up and you're like, yep, that's him. Okay. But it's pretty good. But like I said, it's predictable. Don't think that it's billed as a suspense thriller, but
really
you're going to know 10 minutes into this, the story.
Right.
But the acting is still pretty good. Some good action scenes, but I really enjoyed it. The other one we're watching is Bloodlines, and I know, Jesus, how the heck? Jen and I we're on episode 8.
Oh, jeez, you're way behind.
Oh, yeah. And every time we finish an episode, we look at each other and go, how did John and Lydia binge this thing? Because it is so depressing.
Oh, I don't get that emotionally invested in stuff though, so I guess
you must be like a rock.
Yeah, that stuff doesn't bother me.
It's just so, the entire show is just so depressing. It's like everybody's taking a wrong turn after wrong turn, and like their lives are just circling the drain, and you're just it's like, and not to mention, it's like seeing the train wreck and then watching the train ride up to it. Because that's basically what this show did, right?
Right. It spoils the ending in the beginning, which I hate when shows do, by the way. But
right.
It seems to be a thing.
So you know that the train wrecks.
Right.
And now you're just seeing everything that leads up to it, and you're just, it's so, this show is so heavy, and we're just like, it, even Jen's amazed. She's like, how did he get through? And then I look, I'm like, we gotta be almost done with season one. We're like, there's 13 episodes.
Yeah, you're only halfway through.
Season one. And there's three seasons.
Yep.
Season two and three are only 10 episodes.
Yeah, they're
each.
A little bit shorter.
But I'm like, but I'm still. Not finished. There's no way I'm finishing this anytime this year. we just did three nights in a row of this to get from 5 to 8. And we're just like, oh, I'm spent. It's heavy. And I look at you and you're just like, yeah, we finished that last weekend.
Right. We watched the whole thing in about a week. So
it's like, this show is so heavy, and you're probably sitting there with a bag of chips like, oh, this is pretty good.
Yeah, throwing popcorn in the air. And hey, you know what just came to mind? You mentioned Disney Plus a minute ago, too.
Yeah, you heard of it? It's a pretty good app.
Is Disney Plus stupid? and here's why.
Here we go. Are we talking about HBO Max or Disney
Plus? Mulan comes out Friday.
Yep.
Right? For $29.99.
Yep.
And one of their big features that you're supposed to get for your $29.99 in addition to the movie is that you have access to the movie forever as long as you pay the $30 and then
as long as you have Disney Plus. Yep.
On December 4th, Mulan comes to Disney Plus for free.
Yep.
Which is 3 months from now. Did they just like kill every sale they were going to make on this for $30? Because if I've waited a year already for this, I think I can wait 3 more months and watch it on December 4th for free. Why they would ever tell anybody before the release day when you're going to get it for free really makes me question the intelligence of the people running Disney Plus. Like, this is what you tell everybody on Monday after the entire world has bought it on Friday for $30. And, of course, I'm going to have it for free as long as I have Disney Plus forever. I'm going to have that whether I pay my $30 or not, because after December 4th, it's always going to be there, right? So they've already said they're not taking things off their service. So I think this is the most boneheaded thing I've ever seen anybody do. Like, because
I
was all geared up
with what I think they're doing.
I was all geared up to spend $30 on Friday to buy this thing. And now I don't think I'm going to, unless my wife really just nags me to buy it, because I know she really wants to see it.
Right.
And so what that means is I'm going to spend $30 and buy it. But how many people are not going to do that, and they're just going to wait until December 4th and get it? Like, I don't know. You can counter.
Okay, here's my
counter.
Feel
free to retort.
May I retort?
You may.
Okay. So what I think Disney Plus is doing is they're testing the model. So the reason they could have waited till Monday, but then you wouldn't have a good gauge on how well this model works, because eventually people will get wise to, all right, movie comes out on Disney Plus for $30, and here's the pattern. 3 months later, it's going to be out on Disney Plus for free. So what they're doing is they're getting ahead of it so that they get a good sense of how this is going to work and how many people are going to, you know, invest. And like you said, your wife's going to bug you to get it anyways. This is a kid's movie. Kids want to see it. They've been telling everybody that it's coming out, so kids are looking forward to it. They're going to bug their parents. So I really think that – I don't think they're going to take a hit in the wallet because of this, and it really is going to be a sense of – it's going to tell you that this is how the model's going to work. This is how many people are willing to pay to see it when it is released, because the other thing is this whole movie theater opening and everything. You know, can we go to the theaters? Can we not go to the theaters? I know you and I both just went to the theater, and we'll talk about that on Monday, but you see what I mean? Like, they wouldn't have a good sense of how this works if they surprised everybody, because people would have bought it. But now you'll have a really good idea of your numbers, because everybody knows it's going to be free in December, but yet they still bought it.
Right. But here's my retort to your retort, because
we're retorting all over the place.
Yeah, because you said you don't think they're going to take a hit to the wallet. How will you know? Because the number will be the number, but you'll never know what the number could have been.
Right.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
But so I don't think they
want to
know
over-inflated that they're
going
to take a
number.
Hit to the wallet because
right.
There's no way to know. There's no baseline. The number, yes, maybe they make a fortune and maybe they're happy, but what could it have been? You
but
know,
Disney,
you'll never know.
But
so,
Disney isn't in this for the quick buck. Like I said, I think they're developing a model here where they're going to start releasing stuff on that platform and then release it for free in 3 months. You know what I mean? So right. if you didn't tell people, you wouldn't have a good sense of how this is going to work until repetitive releases like this. But at least now they'll know, we'll know on Monday how well this did. Even though, you know, without the lies, everything up front, hey, here you go. Because imagine if they released that news on Monday, everybody would then have a bad look on Disney like, oh, why couldn't you have told us this earlier? Maybe I wouldn't have purchased it.
Well, you don't say it on Monday. Maybe you say it like in November. You go, hey, coming to Disney Plus next month, Mulan. Like, I wouldn't tell them 3 days later. But
right.
But I guess my thing is
Disney's damned if they do, damned if they don't. If they tell you ahead of time, they're stupid and they don't know how to run a business. If they tell you after, then they're shady and they were just trying to make a quick buck and now they're releasing it to you for free.
Yeah.
Or even better, what if it doesn't do well this weekend and then they say, all right, we're just going to release it in December. And it's like, well, now they're just putting it out because nobody's buying it anyways. At least now the cards are on the table. Everything's up front and they know exactly what kind of business they're running here and what they can expect in the future with, say, a Black Widow or any of these other movies that are going to be coming out. They'll have a better gauge on how well this works.
Right. But you also could say, let's say they don't tell you, right? And they just release it Friday, and let's say they do, I don't know, I'm just going to throw it. Let's just say they do $200 million. That's probably low. I'm just guessing, right? And then in December, they release the movie and blah, blah, blah. So then the next time around, they tell you, or even the next time around, they don't tell you. But
and
people
you just
start,
figure it out because of the
But people
pattern.
Say, well, the last time it came for free in 3 months, so this time I'm going to wait. And the next movie only does $100 million. They still have their model, right? They've still built their model because now they know the before and the after. They know what it could have been, and then they know what it was the second time around. But they've established the baseline with the first one to see what, you know, to see what it was going to be. So I don't know. Like I said, I just thought it was really foolish because
It seems foolish on the face, but I think if you look at it from a, like, they're trying to test something, I think. And like everybody said, oh, I hate Disney's business practices or whatever people say, but nobody makes more money than Disney practically. So it's like,
well, no, they make the money.
They're making money hand over fist, and they know how to market stuff.
I think they hurt themselves with this. I think this movie definitely does less.
Yeah.
Oh no, they are hurt. They're definitely hurting. They're hurting like crazy. I don't know what you're talking about. They don't have any parks open. They're losing money every quarter. So they're hurting for sure. But and
are
that
they
was the whole
at
thing.
Risk
they're
of going out of business.
Well, the thing is, they were they're hurting a lot, and they needed this movie to make a lot of money. And I think they just put it at risk to making a lot less than it could have made. So I don't know. I don't know.
I think they'll recover.
Yeah.
And I think they have bigger fish. They're thinking of something else. So, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes. But like you said, we'll never know now.
Right. That's the thing. We will never know. I think they needed to do at least one movie to get to establish a baseline.
Well, wait till you see. Like you said, even at the beginning, and you're like, "This is the dumbest thing ever." But Lydia will probably make me buy it anyways.
Yeah, but so, she might not. Like I
no,
said,
I know.
Because
but
I,
even
I may
you
not.
Admit you might end up buying it anyways, and you're not even talking about having to deal with a little kid,
right?
You know, so a lot of the most people with this movie are going to be buying it for their little kid. I'm probably going to buy. I was never going to buy it, but the home theater guy in me really wants to check this system out and see how it is and see how it plays, see how it looks, how do they deliver it, blah, blah, blah. So this is something I'm probably going to buy that I never would have bought in the first place.
Right.
I know that's a very rare person. But,
right, but the thing is,
but you know what I mean. But the majority
are you
going to
buy it, or
kids.
Can you wait until December? You know what I mean.
No, I want to see how the model works. I want to take a look and see what they're releasing to us, what it looks like. Is it, you know, how's the picture and sound and all that? So
I don't think it'll be different than in December.
No, no, I know. I just,
I don't think that will be different, though. I mean, I get what you're saying, but I don't think it'll be different in
No, I
three
agree.
Months.
But I definitely want to check it out. So.
All right.
All right. That it?
I think so.
You got any more rants?
No. I had actually forgotten about it until you mentioned Disney Plus, and it just popped into my head. So.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Keeping things colorful, John.
That's right. Hey, you know, I got to be a little feisty every once in a while because I'm too tame lately, and I don't think the listeners like it. So
No. Actually, when we record on Sundays, you're all fired up. It's these late shows.
Yeah. Well, I'm not so much fired up. I just have a better vocabulary. So I don't know what that's all about, but.
You're awake.
Hey, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Do we like fired up nudie or do we like subdued nudie? Let us know on Twitter @brightside_chat, or you can email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. I will forward all messages to subdued nudie and that will get him fired up. And check out us and all the other podcasts at Nerdy Legion at nerdylegion.com. And you could subscribe one click, subscribe to all, and you give us all credit. That would be great. And please go on your podcast provider and rate, review, and subscribe. We're on a bunch of them, including the Joe Rogan podcast. I mean, Spotify.
Oh, I was going to say, the Joe Rogan Podcast Network.
Apparently, that's what it is now. It's like, I don't know who signed who there.
Yeah, right?
That is huge. What a deal.
Yeah.
But I want the,
I'm still waiting for mine. I don't know.
Well, what did he sign for? 100 million?
Something.
Yeah.
That's crazy. You can break off a little piece of that for us.
Yep. All right. We out of here?
Yep.
I got to get going. All right. We will be back on Monday with, providing we're alive still. We ventured out, went to the movies.
Yeah.
We have a report. We will be back on Monday with that report. Yep. See you then. Have a great week, everybody.
Take care, everyone.
Hey, Fred. All right, is the door locked?
It is.
All righty. Let's get into Daredevil and the annual for this year.
Yep.
And you read it after I talked to you about it. So
yes.
Did you understand what I was saying? Like, it, as you're reading through this story, did you feel like, is this part of what's going on? Or is this a story unto itself? Or you know what I mean? Like as I
no,
was reading
I feel
this,
like this is definitely continuity.
Yes,
because it.
But
comes
it wasn't
up
evident
in
at the
book.
Beginning, though.
It wasn't evident in the beginning, but it was at the end.
Yes,
like there, you know, there are scenes with Mike and Daredevil where he specifically mentions, you know, I thought you turned yourself in for murder. So I mean, that's really let you know that this is taking place. You know, it's not an Elseworlds story. I mean, it's taking place in the main storyline. So what happens in this book will impact the story going forward in the main title, I believe, anyways.
Oh, yeah. What'd you think of the story?
I thought it was good. Like, I don't know that – I didn't have the same reaction that you did to it. Like, I didn't find it to be that earth-shattering. But it definitely fundamentally changed – Daredevil's background, right? Because
that's why I think it's earth shattering.
But I mean, it didn't change the status quo any. Like, his Daredevil's life isn't any different than it was before. He just now has a brother that.
But his whole backstory is now changed. What we knew, what we've known our whole lives of Daredevil is now, like, according to this, is all like he grew up with a brother now.
Right.
But he never did that. There was never anybody else. And it's like, I feel like, I know you've read it twice.
Yeah, I read it
the once.
Yeah.
Does it feel like his father didn't die the same way now? Like, it's
not even sure. Yeah.
He's dead.
I'm not sure what, right. I'm not even sure he's dead at this point, but I think so. I think he is. I mean,
isn't that crazy?
It changed his background and his upbringing for sure. But at the end of the day, like when we meet Daredevil again at the end of this book, he's the same Daredevil. Like the path is different, but the destination was the same, I think. So
right. It's kind of like that. Your destiny is always the same.
I don't know how it's going to impact him going forward, obviously, because we haven't read the next issue. So
yeah, what is it, 22 comes out next?
But it feels like, you know, Mike Murdock is definitely going to be a thorn in his side going forward.
Yeah.
Because I didn't even know Wilson Fisk had a son named Butch. So I don't know if he's new, but I don't remember ever seeing that guy before. But yeah, apparently now they're like, you know, Mike and Butch are in cahoots to take over the city. So that's going to be different as far as, it's just going to be another adversary and another storyline going forward. But, like, at the end of the day, I don't think it changed the character of Daredevil really in any meaningful way. Because he still seems like the same guy, you know.
Yes. Daredevil seems like the same guy. But are there going to be slight adjustments coming?
Well, there might be, right. We don't know.
You know, it's in the idea, like you said, it's like, we don't know if his father's even dead anymore. He grew up with a brother now, and it's all of this. And like I said, it's, you know, Zdarsky put this out, what, like a month or so ago or something. We were talking about that he's going to turn the world upside down and people are going to be like, things are going to change. And every book we've been so blown away with, you kind of even forgot what he said because you're just so enthralled with the books.
Right.
And then you get this and you go, oh yeah, I remember him saying what he was going to do. And here it is. And like I said to you before you read it, I'm like, I think this is kind of has a chance of being very polarizing. Do you think this is going to play well with the general public? Or do you think that like certain segment of people aren't going to be happy with what they've done with the traditional Daredevil?
I mean, I haven't heard any negative feedback on it. I mean, most people that I've talked to that read it were positive on it. So I think comic book readers now, I just roll with the punches, you know, like we're all trained to just go with the flow. So I don't think it upset people, at least that I talked to any degree. But most people that read it that are reading Daredevil thought it was, you know, they liked it. So I think it, you know, I think everybody's just waiting to see what happens, you know.
Right.
Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess they can always undo it. But, like, is this a permanent thing? Like, does it get changed somehow or,
right,
you know, who knows? But I thought that, you know, this whole book really focuses on, it's not a Daredevil story at all. I mean, it's a Mike Murdock story, really. Like, this book doesn't have anything.
Which, when you open the book, you didn't even know existed.
Right. This doesn't have anything to do with Daredevil at all, really. He shows up on a panel or two at the end of the book. But yeah, it's, it was really interesting. You know, obviously, it's his twin brother, so there's a lot of cases of mistaken identity. And really, when the book opens, you don't know that it's not Matt. And you're like, and he says,
well, why would you?
I can't see very well. And it's like, wait a minute. Is he not blind anymore? You know? And then you read the next page and it's like, oh, okay. This is his twin brother. I didn't know he had a twin brother. And then you read a couple more pages and, you know, you kind of get the, you know, the gist of what's going on. But yeah, it was really interesting, you know, to say the least. But yeah, I thought they did a good job of developing the character. Like you definitely know who Mike Murdock is.
Out of thin air?
Yeah. out of nothing, you know. So
I mean, talk about, you know, turning a world upside down. Compare this to Tom King killing Alfred.
Right.
And just the response, like, I agree with you. I haven't heard really anything negative. That's why I wanted to ask you if you'd heard anything. But the response that Tom King got out of
that was much more polarizing.
Exactly. Yeah. But that's also a character that was, I hate to say it, it's an old character that, like, literally in the book, if anybody was going to die, it would have been that character.
Yeah, actually, I take it back. That wasn't polarizing either. Everybody hated it. Like, it was a consensus. There was it wasn't polarizing at all. Universally, people were unhappy with that, you know?
Right.
So, like, I don't know anybody that came in and they're like, boy, I'm so glad they killed Alfred, you know?
It's about time.
Yeah. It's about time they killed that guy. Yeah, of course. Yeah, he's the old man and, you know, I guess, like you said, if anybody was going to go, it was probably going to be him. But he was kind of like, you know, he's the sacred cow, right? Like, I mean, you'd kill Bruce if you want, but okay, leave Alfred alone, you know?
Let me give you three things. If on December 31st, 2019, we said, hey, in the new year, we will either be locked down for 3 months because of a pandemic, see Alfred die, or see Daredevil's brother. Which one do you think is the least likely?
Alfred die? I don't know.
You'd be like, Daredevil doesn't have a brother. What are you talking about? You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, at least Alfred's old. You'd be like, I could see that. And then at least in December of, you know, we knew about the pandemic over in China.
Yeah, we had heard.
So at least we'd be like, that exists.
Right.
Daredevil doesn't have a brother. So right, you'd be like, wow, that ain't going to happen. When is he going to get a brother? How are you going to introduce that? And here we are. We have all three.
Yep. The trifecta.
What a great year.
Yeah. Yeah. Can't wait for more of this.
I just put the bright side spin on 2020.
Yep. Hey,
if anybody could do it.
Yep.
Alfred died.
Yeah.
I don't even know. Did he die this year? I think he died in 2019, didn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
For the sake of argument.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, people are going to be like, you know, he didn't die this year. But yeah, that's what a, you never saw that coming. Nobody else opened the book. What the?
Yeah. Yeah, it was definitely different.
Yeah. I was dying to talk to you about that. I can't wait for 22.
Right.
Not 2022.
Right.
Book 22. And I was so disappointed. I'm like, yep, the annual's just, that's in place of the series
that was the
run.
Monthly,
so
yeah,
we don't get that till what? Third week in September, I think.
Yeah, it'll be probably
this month.
Three weeks. Yeah.
A few weeks. So.
Yeah.
All right. Anything else?
Nope.
All right, that'll do it for this week.
All right.
Now I'll hit stop. Hit record again. That's wicked funny. Okay, so we
talked to you. I distracted you.
I know.
With my Disney Plus.
Funny. I have to edit all that together.
Yeah.
That's no big deal. That actually makes it easier, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can just stitch it together.
Yeah, just put it at the end.
Yep.
That's cool.